This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. Welcome. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to do the call of the week from the Saturday edition of the show. We call it the Weekly Wrap. And Carla called in from Memphis. Her and her husband had built up a business, sold it off for a few million dollars, and then they don't know what to do in retirement. So they're like, let's go back to work. So what do you do with all that money that you have when you sold your business? Do you use it to seed a new venture? Do you live off of it, a mix of the two? And Greg will expand on that because we kind of ran out of time on Saturday's show. Also, we're going to have the numbers coming up if you want to look at the exact same stocks and graphs we're looking at, winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. Taking care of some business real quick, though. Some evacuations are already ordered in the fringes of our broadcast area. So if you're listening on our Biloxi affiliate, WBUV 104.9, just to the far fringe, like in the Pensacola area, they're starting to, municipality after municipality, starting to make some decisions here. And this is all coming from Hurricane Michael. Florida's governor has also mobilized National Guard troops, and he's ordering some Gulf Coast residents to head inland or get ready to evacuate for good. And they're expecting this to make landfall.
For good? That's a long time.
Yeah, that was probably not a good paraphrase on my part. Well, they said head inland or get ready to evacuate. So, I mean, head inland means what? Get off the beach and go to your aunt's house who lives on the shore or further inland, or a for real evacuation where you go to another state? Thank you for cleaning up my mess there. But I can't not mention it because there are people in the umbrella of our show right now. Even though we're coming out of New Orleans and we don't even see a drop of rain and it's not even headed our way, well, some people listening right now, this is going to affect them and will probably hit sometime soon as possible, overnight on Tuesday. More likely it'll be after sunrise on Wednesday when that thing makes landfall. And it's expected to be somewhere between like the Fort Walton Destin and Panama City. Those two little cities is where the center of the cone looks for now. And we know this is all going to change in 24 hours, but that's what we know now. And stay tuned, because if it takes a little bit of a left turn and comes toward us, we'll tell you all about it too. All right, now that's out of the way. Anything you want to add before we get back to Carla's call, Gregory? I mean, I didn't even let you say hi yet. I feel like I'm just taking over the show.
I did say hi. I brought us in from the break. I don't know. What did the market finish down again today?
Well, it was a mixed market. The Dow ended positive, but
it just started on that negative day again, and we've had a few days of that. So that's a little bit of positive, and you know what? Everything's kind of having to adjust to maybe normalcy in the news. Back north, there's a hurricane, something else to keep up with. Interest rates aren't going to – maybe the market's adjusting to the interest rates. That's, you know, a couple of my thoughts of the day, and then Elon Musk poking the bear.
Oh yes, what do you call the SEC, like the short sellers executive committee or something like that?
Yeah,
I might have it in the stack over here. But
need to be careful.
Yeah, short seller enrichment commission is what he called it.
Need to be careful with those guys.
Is he not going to be happy till he goes to jail? Is that his deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, now we had a lot of amazing calls on Saturday's show. This is one of our favorites. This may be the call of the week. Too bad she called in at 12:55?
Yeah.
It was about the end of the show. But if you're still listening, Carla in Memphis, Gregory is going to expand on this. So here's a three-minute clip of Saturday's call, and Greg will elaborate afterwards. Carla, Memphis, you're last up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Carla?
Yes, my husband and I are in our 60s, and we sold our business last year, and we sold it for $10 million, and when we sold it, after we paid our taxes, paid off all the loans, tithes, everything, we had a bottom line dollar figure of $3.2 million. So we have $3.2 million in cash, and we don't have any debt. And my husband didn't like sitting at home, so he went back to work in the same business. We had signed a non-compete, so he's not in our area, but he's in the same business, and we started doing it again. He does not feel comfortable in the stock market because about 15 years ago, we lost $500,000 in the stock market, and it was kind of our whole savings, and it was horrible. Anyway, he's scared of the stock market, and so we've been holding our money and trying to decide what to do. He wants to reinvest in the business instead of getting loans for the business. And so, and I want to invest in the stock market. So we don't know what to do with this money.
So what's going to be the long game plan on him building this business again? How long are y'all going to do that for? Another 10 years? Five? Yeah, is this something you're going to build it and sell it to?
Yeah, 5 to 10 years. And he's also thinking about, you know, what my son's going to do. So, I mean, that's another consideration for us. But,
yeah. Okay, so yeah. Of the $3.2 million, how much is he thinking about putting back in the business?
Well, he wants to put it all, you know, because we've made like 3% on our money since we've been sitting on it. And we've already opened up, you know, two more business. It's car washes, and we've already built two of them, and we got a loan rate of, you know, 3.5%, and then the second one we got a loan and a half of, I mean, a loan of 3.75. Well, the new loan is going to be 4.75. Well, we're not making 4.75 on our money.
No, but 5-year CD annuities are paying at 4%. You can do indexed annuities that will protect principal, give you upside the market. You should be able to find a blend between the two of doing some bond-like money and some market stuff. But you need to work with somebody like us that if the market's going to hell, they're getting you out of the market, not this buy and hold and everything's going to be fine. You need to give me a call at my daytime job, 504-832-9200, and I wouldn't put all that money back in the business. You need some money outside as a backup plan.
All right, so now we're back live. Interesting stuff here. So, man, I caught some things re-listening to it that I missed the first time, but your first thoughts?
Well, what were the things you caught?
Well, the one thing that she said was after all the taxes and after they settled their debts and after their tithe, which means they gave a tenth back to charity. So if you have a $10 million sale, they gave $1 million to their church. That's just an amazing couple of people there. Just a regular old Joe. Yep. Couple of people started a car wash, worked hard, saved all this money, did the right thing, sold it, and the first thing they did was give back to their immediate community. That just makes me love her even more. Second thing I noticed that I missed the first time around was she said we got the $3.2 million and we're only getting 3% on it. And you know, immediately you think, well, look, $3.2 million, 3%, that's going to be pretty good. Actually, that's $96,000 a year. And that's probably not maintaining the lifestyle of someone who just had a string of 10 car washes or however much it was. It's, you know, that's not living the high life. That's living, you know, barely a middle class lifestyle if you're in a big city like Memphis. So that's what I caught.
Well, they probably have some other savings. Once again, we didn't get into everything, but they do have $3.2 million that they've netted after selling the business. So that's a pretty big deal. Okay, he's bored. He wants to do it again. Will it work out that way for him next time? We could assume so, but what if it doesn't? When you're running a business and assuming everything's going to go well and you just keep, you either put it back in the business or you spend it all, that can be a problem because when the machine does stop one day, you know, all these ball players, for example, make a lot of money. Not all of them, but a great deal of them. And they live like it's just going to keep going. Spend it, put it in things, and not necessarily have cash on the outside as well. So you could use a portion of that money, but what's your backup plan? What's your reserve? They leveraged it before. Leverage is going to cost them a bit more this time. Interest rates have gone up. But what's your plan are keeping some of it outside the business? You don't have to go and put that money to risk. Okay, they're making 3%. You can get a little bit more, but it doesn't go and mean you've got to take market risk or have or work with somebody that's just going to let it ride down on the next downturn. Or you don't have to expose any of it at all. What I would think is you protect that. It gets invested according to what you're comfortable with and what you're wanting to put back in the business, do so. But also you need that business to bring that money back to you and you need to keep adding to what's on the side. you know, what good is the business if you're not saving any money, any accumulating outside money to do something with? I just would hate to put all that in that direction. And look, do all car washes become successful?
Heck no.
Heck no. No, they don't. What if competition affects you this time? You know, there's so many things that could affect you. You know, they come out, Tesla comes out with self-cleaning cars next. Okay. Car wash
something
is
like
no
that.
Good.
I got you.
You know, you have to think of, but that's not just their business. I'm talking about businesses in general, to where you have to accumulate assets and you have to set aside. Because what you're doing, when you think about that, they're going and borrowed money, built a business, then were able to sell it. That is taking some risk. Because we hear of businesses that don't work where they've leveraged and borrowed money and they still owe all this money. That's what's kind of scary, is having that happen. And then to go do it a second time is scary. So I would just hate putting all that money into the business. There's a real estate developer and investor that he got into a deal and it kind of went bad. Cost him, I don't know, neighborhood of $1 million. He's just now, like, gosh, 10 years recovering from that. It's a lot to lose.
All right, let's continue this on the other side of the break. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, Hall of Fame financial advisor. Would love to take a shot at your question. 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call or text from the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
And I don't know why it'll take me downtown like you got anywhere better to be. Talk it up and give me the go round round like a good time tease. I'm only counting on
Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. Here every evening at 7. Yes. And the weekend. Yeah, we do a 3-hour live show on Saturdays from 10 to 1. 504-260-0995. You can download the Winning at Life app and email us, text us, even call us from the app. We had a message from the app. Ken from Long Beach.
Hey, Ken, how you doing, bud?
Do you give advice to individuals whose ex talked him into using most of his IRA money prior to leaving him? Let's see. He only has, we'll just say a few grand left. I need advice, help for my future. Well, I think you should retain legal services. You should get legal advice. Typically, if this leads to a divorce, it should be a settlement of property afterwards. If there's any property left on either side, that's always a negotiation there. That's really what my guidance and advice would be, to get that done. And, you know, just try to get it worked out, because, you know, the more you fight and argue, the more you're both sides are paying attorneys on that, and it eats up what's left to split. And hopefully it's a case where you can get along and get this worked out, and the quicker the better. Outside of that is get beyond this, get back to work and start accumulating some money and make good decisions in the future.
Oof. Tough situation.
Yeah, man. No, that is a tough one right there.
Well, good luck out in Long Beach.
Well, what about, let's see, in 2008, the Congressional Budget Office released a 10-year forecast for our nation's national debt.
Oh, I love it. We did this last year, and they were off by $10 trillion. Remember that?
The debt projection made in 2008 for the end of fiscal year 2018 was $12.704 trillion. And our actual debt end of September was $21.516 trillion.
So they were off by $9 trillion?
Yeah.
All right. Good job, guys. But hey, pay attention to those CBO scores. They're really crucial when determining whether or not you should support a policy or not.
Way off and way underestimated. You know, that's disastrous. Well, think when you're that far off.
Think about it like this. What good are PAYGO rules if this is the number we're using on them? Oh, really? We can't cut taxes by more than that because the revenue projections say it'll be negative after 10 years? When has the revenue projection ever been correct? Why are we determining the number of votes it takes in the Senate to pass this thing if these numbers are demonstrably so flawed?
Well, in recent months, we've talked about when Social Security was created, how far off they were on everything.
Yeah, that's a big one too.
And this is disastrous. So the national debt, once again, as of September 30th of this year, is $21.5 trillion, up $1.3 trillion in the last year, up $4.8 trillion over the past 5 years, and finally up $11.5 trillion in the last 10 years.
What was just the last year again? What was the yearly deficit?
$1.3 trillion in the last year.
Why isn't that a top news story?
So what were they thinking back in 2008 when they made this forecast that they were so far off on? What? You know, everything going to be fine. Yeah, recession. All that. We're going you know, we're gonna balance the budget and get things going.
I know one thing. It was before they had the big stimulus project that it was the first thing that Obama passed when he got into office, and that was a $1 trillion package. It shot that yearly deficit up to $1.7 trillion, but it reset the baseline on where spending is, and that became the new normal for the next decade. It just popped up an extra $1 trillion and stayed there every year, including through this guy, apparently.
Hey, this might be motivation for planning. I'll give you one other number here. 53% of 2,638 widows surveyed in the third quarter of this year, that's 2018, admit that they and their deceased husbands had no financial plan in place in the event that either spouse died. Yeah. Sources, Merrill Lynch, Age Wage. The other numbers were the Treasury Department, you know, the ones on the national debt.
But that one is so sad because what happens in the absence of a will is going to be more expensive than the process of getting a will. It's going to cost you more in your assets and your estate and your heirs.
Well, it can. That's a given. But not having a plan has, I think, more to do with where are you on the financial path and what does it look like going forward? And if something happens to one or the other, they know what the effects are on the income. You know, how much, you know, Social Security, not going to keep getting both checks. How was the pension set up? If that's the case, what's the income off assets? Can they handle the new burden? Or we need to make up some income? All those type of things need to be discussed. We don't ever have the assumption when we're having discussions with somebody that both of you are living to age 95. We talk about, now this is the effect here, if one of you move on before the other, or if the husband dies in particular, or if the wife dies in particular, so that they have an idea of what's coming. Why would you not discuss that? And this isn't that complicated. I had a meeting the other day, and I basically said at the end of the meeting, we met for about an hour and 5 minutes, and I said, hey, that's your financial plan right there that we just worked on and did. It isn't that complicated, but this is a unique view, so you have a total understanding of how everything looks the next 15 years out and beyond that some.
53%, though. I mean, we're not talking about 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds. We're talking about people who are already past the losing their best friend in life. That's just awful stuff.
Yeah, well, it was widows they interviewed. So, you know, that's probably mostly over age 60.
Glad Wes Blanchard didn't hear that. All right, you ready to do the numbers?
Yep.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world while you were out today winning it life. Follow along on the same charts and graphs I'm looking at, winningitlife.com or the Winning It Life app. And today was mixed. No champagne bottles are going to be popped. The Dow Jones ended in the positive, but it wasn't a record-breaking day. Conversely, the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Russell all ended in the red. I mean, S&P is basically flat. It was down 1 point. But the Dow Jones was up almost 0.2%. S&P about flat. NASDAQ down 0.7%. And the Russell down 0.2%. But it look, even though the Dow finished the day in the positive, it was a rocky ride. It started down, got its head above water. And then when I went into the office, you know, things were looking a little rosy. When I got home from lunch, it had gone 200 points down and then come all the way back up. So I just missed a big Pepto-Bismol ride. And then it just sort of worked its way to a modest gain of 40 points on the day.
Saw the yield just moved up slightly today. We finished with 3.234% on 10-year treasuries. Now we'll look at crude oil, $74.28 a barrel. Brent crude, $83.85.
Wait, what was the WTI?
$74.29. Okay. And gold, $1,194 even.
It's not going to get too far from that 1,200 mark, is it?
Silver, $14.43. There you go.
I'm very happy to see that 10-year treasury get up so high, 3.2. I mean, we haven't seen that number in a decade, so pretty ecstatic about that. On the short sheet, though, if you're looking at the charts and graphs here, it's a pretty nice mix of green versus red, even though three of the four indices were in the red. One of our big losers here is Tesla. What did he do today? I didn't see any reporting on this guy other than what he was doing over the weekend with making fun of the SEC and whatnot. Is he just determined to ruin all the goodwill from that positive production report for the first time?
Oh, I'm just really surprised at that. That's scary, scary, him playing around with that.
All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
So we're speaking about hers is more than half of his.
Welcome back. We're Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show, 504-260-0995. Or if you can give us the call there, you can send us a message in the Winning It Live app. You can send us a message in Facebook Live, or you can send it on Periscope where we have a question right now. It says, if your wife's Social Security is more than half of yours, should you still wait till 70?
Okay, so more than half, so that means more than 50% of his check.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he hasn't turned his on. So how is she's probably not drawing it? So it's not the spousal benefit she's receiving.
No, it looks like she will not be in position more than for half. The spousal, even when he passes.
Yeah, so the spousal is based on FRA. Now, should he continue? Well, his check is already larger than hers, but is he working? Is she the same age as him? Is she younger? Is she older? If he's working to 70, I would recommend deferring to 70. How's his health is a part of that. He is leaving behind a larger check if he moves on first, but could leave a larger one. What's the impact? Or if he's retired, can you afford to wait? You know, I just have to see the math on that. It's just not a straight up decision. There's a lot of things that are correlating into that. Are we taking income from assets in lieu of starting that Social Security? It leaves a lot of questions unanswered.
Okay, so Wayne just responded, she's 60 and he is 64. Both are in good health and he still works.
Okay, I would wait. They're in good health. I would wait. Neither have turned on Social Security. Her benefit off her record's obviously going to be more than half of his, so he's not going to draw that. He's 64, so he's not FRA yet, so he just needs to kind of relook at this. When he retires is the first point, The second is when he reaches FRA. And then you're kind of looking at it's a year-to-year discussion. So he's in 2 years, he could turn it on basically at FRA and draw it. No negative to him working. He's not going to have a income test on that. But for both of them, deferring does create a larger benefit for them to draw on. You know, that permanent pension that you can build larger. Guess he didn't say when he's planning to retire.
Actually, he said can't retire until 66.
Okay.
But that's not really
that's
the same.
That's the first decision point. His wife's not going to be eligible for FRA yet because she's going to be, 62 then in that case. If he is going to retire, how do assets correlate to that decision as well? So once again, we're partially getting there, but then you have the asset question. If he's going to retire, what is that income going to be based upon? And will he need that Social Security to make it work? Maybe the assets can handle it, but what's the long-term effect on the assets? See, we keep developing more questions, things we need to think about.
Well, here's his next hypothetical. What if he turns it on at 66, but continues to work?
Yeah, there's no income test. He can make as much as he wants to. Social Security is going to be taxed. It's just if you're continuing to work and you're not needing that money, what's the benefit of turning it on? It's being taxed. It isn't like you're saving the whole check. It's going to be taxed. So I would think more in line, as long as you are working, you defer that. If you work beyond 70, you're going to turn it on at age 70. The big worry would be working and turning it on, and then all of a sudden you've increased your lifestyle because you're making more money. Then you've got to, when you do retire, you're having to really dial that back.
I get the impression you've seen that quite a few times.
Yes. Weekly.
Weekly? Okay.
These scenarios?
Yeah.
Yeah. All these questions I ask, the things I think about when we're having the discussion. Yeah, it's all about when.
People turn it on, keep working, increase their lifestyle, and then rug gets pulled out.
Yeah, the typical question is, we're thinking about retiring, wanted to see your thoughts, get your thoughts, see where we're at. And behind that, when they kind of see what they won't know, do we have enough money?
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to work? That's kind of the underlying questions. They might not come out and say that, but that's what they're saying. Are we going to have enough money? One of the bombshell questions is, if they're prior to 65, how are you taking care of the health insurance? Now, a couple I spoke with the other day, it was like $540 a month for both of them. I'm like, wow, what a great group plan she retired from. And I said, that's tremendous, because just for you, if you went to the market, it's going to be over $1,000 a month. And considering two of you, over $2,000. A month. And she smiles. She says, yeah, I've got a really good deal on that, because that's something that just prohibits somebody from retiring early.
Because you need an extra 24 grand a month just to pay that one
24
bill.
Grand a year. Yeah.
Well, what about this hypothetical? Because I hear this a lot, but I haven't heard a whole lot of stories from you in the real world where it's played out, where people are going to continue working. They're going to turn on their Social Security, but I'm just going to save this extra money. I'm just going to set it aside and start building up some assets over here that will help me with my retirement savings. Anyone ever actually pull that off, or that just sound good and they like to say it as an excuse to clock that benefit?
No, some people just turn it on because they can, or they come in. Yeah, I've already turned it on. I'll ask why. Because I could.
Because I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear those stories.
That, or I just wanted to. It's not going to be around, so I turned it on. There's lots of reasons. One of the biggest, yeah, I can. I didn't see it as any big deal. Turn it on.
Yeah, you mean I get a check?
Get that money as soon as it's available. Turn it on. Most people turn it on at 62. Probably not the best decision. Half of them that are turning it on have to have it. Even if they're working, they're probably needing it, some of that. Why? They don't have money saved. Remember, if you don't have money saved, let's see how much you have in your savings account. You have $50,000? No, we have $5,000. Or you have a 401k? Yeah, I have $30,000. Is your house paid for? Almost. But I'm wanting to see if I can retire. You can, but you're not going to have much money. What you're down to is $35,000 in your 401k. That's not enough. $5,000 in your emergency savings. That's not enough. Any other money have? No, don't have any more money. You need to work as long as you can, because you need the largest benefit from Social Security that you possibly can get, because you have no other backup. The $35,000 in your 401k and $5,000 in your bet, that's your emergency money. And I wouldn't have it invested in any risk where it would go down, because you've got to make sure that you can keep working as long as you can. And then if you wait as long as age 70, then turn on the Social Security.
Can I play the crystal ball game with you? I'm going to ask you to make a prediction, then we're going to see how correct you are.
Ten years?
No, this that's great. No, this is easier than it sounds. Trump made a statement on how he believes the economy is doing, how his economy is doing so far. Gregory, you haven't heard the sound clip, have you?
I have not.
Honor system here, right? Hand to God. All right, so what do you think he said about his economy and how the economy is performing right now?
It's performing really good, he would say. You know, his wording that he would use, you're better at that than me, but he'll throw out some big word. It's just spectacular economy.
Mr. Minutes, this is the best economy in the history of mankind, right? Well, let's see if your prediction comes true, Gregory.
And our unemployment numbers in almost every category are at record lows. They are record lows. African American, best in history. Asian American, best in history. Hispanic American, best in history. We are doing incredibly well as an economy.
This guy is just not
incredible.
Known. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not renowned for his nuance, is he? He would be a rough movie critic, because it's either the best movie he's ever seen or it's just absolute trash. It's just a failed attempt at entertainment. The guy cracks me up. Things are doing pretty good, though. I'm pretty happy with it.
Good economy going.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Autonomous cars, I really think, are city cars. Probably not going to work in the towns outside, you know, the border wall there in Texas, or driving to Big Bay Lake. You know, dirt roads are a problem. Where's the edge? Mm-hmm. It likes to look at stripes. Stripes give it signals there. Have you driven one of those vehicles that, you know, you go over the line, it starts vibrating your steering wheel?
Yeah, the rumble strips, the hum bumps, whatever you want to call them.
No. There's no rumble strips. If it sees you driving onto the painted part of the road, the steering wheel will vibrate. It is a smooth road.
I have not seen that. By the way, this is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. He's Gregory. I'm James. Go ahead.
And we're winning, but it's weird. Actually, it's annoying.
I haven't seen that. So
yeah, sometimes
car?
Yeah, I just like, gosh, I am not moving around that much, or maybe I'm moving around a little bit more than should, but it gets fussy about that. But when you're driving on a dirt road, it doesn't do that.
So this happened to you. Okay.
But that's, you know, we were talking on the break about autonomous car. Ford leaked some information that they're looking at cars without steering wheels. And of course, if it's an autonomous car, why would it need a steering wheel? That's kind of in your way. If anything, prop my laptop up there and do work. But that is kind of weird, because you just have to have all this trust. But it's got to be in a city where the roads are all mapped, stripes and stuff. Everything's everywhere, because it's looking for all those things to know where to go. Help keep it in the lane. The GPS will tell it where it's going also, but there's a reason for those stripes and all in the road
My brain just viscerally rejects the idea of a car without a steering wheel, just because I've never seen one, never had to imagine one before. It's never even really been presented to me. But think about it like this, you know. My first reaction is, well, wouldn't you like it there for backup, or in case you do need it, or the self-driving thing breaks down or whatever? But hang on, if it's going to be autonomous and self-driving and it doesn't have a steering wheel, you know what you don't need? You don't need that whole little steering column that goes, and you don't need it actually physically connected to the axle. You can take out the actual manual driving mechanisms and probably have use a lot less room, and it'll weigh less, and it'll be less to build because you don't need that extra component in there. Starting to make more sense if I can just digest it for a few more minutes.
But you had said they're doing something about a remote control.
Yeah, they're looking at some options here. So an autonomous car, one thing you would do is you would either have an app on your phone, like an Uber-ish app, where you put in the address and you send it to your car that way. I imagine there will be a voice command option too, where you can say like, hey, come on, car, let's go to work. And it'll take you to work. But if you need to override the system or you want to go manual, they're trying a couple of models. One has a controller that's more like a video game controller than a steering wheel. It's not a wheel at all. It just has some buttons on it. The other one has an app on your phone, lets you put an app on your phone. You can control it like that. You can steer the car with an app on your phone.
Yeah, I just don't see how that would work. The average person's used to doing something like that. Oh, I've never done this before. How do I make it go this way? Or, you know, a gaming control. Do you realize it's been quite a few years since I held a gaming control device?
Hadn't been that long for me.
Well, and you're going to get to hold it a lot because you have little kids. But I think the last time with the boys, I was playing, what's that military game?
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Oh, awesome.
And one of them just kept like killing me real quick. And it just, you know, after a while that got really tiring. So I said, you know what? I think I'm done training you guys.
Yeah. Dying every 14 seconds isn't a fun game. I can't play with one of my cousins either. It's like, if we're not on the same team, I'm not playing because you know this map and I don't.
Yeah, I'm just training material.
You're just tired
of it. So now, if on the car, what might be is it might not be more like a steering wheel, but might be like two handles for you to turn, kind of like. And it might be recessed into the dash, and when it's needed, it could pop out, unfold. Think about it like that.
Isn't that what it did on Demolition Man? They had the.
I don't remember that movie.
I can't believe it didn't win the Oscar for Best Picture. Wesley Snipes, Sylvester Stallone. It was brilliant.
But I'm just think of it being something like that because it's rarely going to be used. But if it does, it will pop out.
See, they didn't call it an autonomous vehicle in Demolition Man. They called it autopilot. And so once you got on the road, the steering wheel collapsed and went back into the steering column.
See, I would think of it more like that, and I do not recall seeing that in that movie. I may not have seen that movie completely either.
All right, we have some time here. Can I get you to respond to another call from the Saturday show? This is just a 2.5-minute clip.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to try Mary from Poplarville.
I want to know, I have no mortgage, I have no bills, I have a farm, I have just a little bit of savings. The stocks that I bought are doing really, really well, but they're only in one specific category. Is there a way that you kind of, I don't know how to say this, have them in different kinds of stocks that would like balance the plate out, so to speak?
Yeah, you want to cover different sectors. You don't. It's just like the FANG stocks, you know, these tech stocks like Facebook, Netflix,
Apple, Amazon, Google.
Yeah. Those. If you're holding those, you're susceptible to bad news, and it seems to affect all of those. I don't mind holding those, and some of those are quite expensive, but it's also the same thing like, oh, I've got me like 10 oil stocks. Well, I don't want everything to be in oil. So when we're going through selection and a portfolio, we do look at the industries or the sectors that they're in. And sometimes we'll have buys that will show up on 5 or 6 companies that are in a sector. And then we might just add 2 of them, even though they're all great buys. I do want diversity within the portfolio. I would look at that way on my own personal holdings as well, is I'd want diversity. Diversification. I don't want to be overloaded in one sector. And that's part of, if you're doing that buying and all, you probably don't have the resources that we have, but you know, our systems, we're checking some 6,000 securities every day. We're looking at the fundamentals, then we're shifting to technicals. Once they pass the fundamentals test, short-term, long-term, simply put, has to have momentum. And they have to cycle into what I'll call the buy spot. that I'm wanting there. So all that plays in, and it just sometimes you have a sector where all of a sudden there's 6, 7, 8 buys. Why? Because that whole sector has moved down and they've all moved the same way, and they're probably going to all move back up, but I don't want to buy 8 of them. Technically, I only need 1. That does that help, Mary?
Really, really helps. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for calling.
All right, we're back live now. So she was looking, the word she was looking for was diversify.
Didn't she have a voice that reminded you of somebody you know in your family?
Yeah.
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 And
I kind
of puts you at ease. It was just also my thought for originally when she called in to the show. But, you know, you want diversification. You don't want to hold too many in one sector. And it's like tech sector. I don't want to hold too many of those. Oil sector. I don't want to have too many oil companies. Can have a few depending on your overall holding. How many are you holding in your portfolio or overweighted? You know, true diversification probably shouldn't hold no more than 3% of investable assets in any one company. So that kind of, and if you're holding a little bit of cash, you know, that's getting you around 30 to 33, depending on what point is fully invested for you. I always think you should always hold on a little cash. So that's, you know, neighborhood of 30 companies there. Then it depends on their growth and when do you peel off some profit, you know, are they wobbling? But when you're holding 30 positions, you know, if you're holding 3 in each sector, then you're looking at 10 sectors out there. And that's some way to think about that is, you know, how many banking stocks do you want? How many tech stock? How many oil?
The downside of that is that sounds like it's really hard to keep up with.
How
all
many
that.
Car companies do you want to hold?
Oh, I got to keep up with 10 different companies or whatever, 30 companies, however many would it be? Yeah, 3 companies across 10 sectors. It's a lot of homework, Gregory.
Well, if you're managing a portfolio, what are you doing every day? You're managing that, right?
You're managing my portfolio.
Okay. Well, you have somebody that's doing it all day. Every day that looks at all these things, consider these things, consider that exposure, looks at the fundamentals, the technicals, where this is headed. Hey, if you're looking for some daytime help, you can call me at my office. Look, if you're married over 60, do you have a plan if something happens to one of you? Call my office, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Thank you very much for hanging out. You can go watch the Saints now. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.